Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 367 of my podcast, the actual episode 367. I know I said 367 in error last week when I had the brilliant and funny Jessica Kearson on. Well, sorry people, it's back to just me. I am in Martha's Vineyard doing the Martha's Vineyard comedy series. It's been a good week, been a great week, beautiful little island here. Not 100% my thing, a little too quaint for my taste, but good nonetheless, and great shows, and it's fun. So anyway, let's get into it, shall we? I'm going to start off with bad news. I am sad to see this and read this. I'm sad that this so far is the outcome, but Brittany Griner has been sentenced to 9.5 years in a Russian prison for her vape cartridge having hashish oil in it. It is hard to imagine the feelings she must be having, fear, pain, despair, at the same time incredible courage. And President Biden says that they're going to do all they can to get her out there, apparently trying to negotiate trading a Russian prisoner for Brittany Griner and another prisoner, and I just hope it works. Obviously, this is something that in the United States would be, even in places where it's illegal, would be a minor offense, and there's definitely a political aspect to Putin keeping her in jail and sentencing her to 9.5 years. But regardless of all that, she's living it. And again, just unimaginable. Unimaginable. And people are trying to make it about other things. Of course, Trump's appealing to the racist base by saying she deserved it and she should know better. You know, she's everything Trumpers can't stand, right? She's a woman, she's gay, she's black, and she's successful. So in any way that Trump can attack her, it feeds his base of deplorables, you know. Someone said to me recently that that's when everything changed, when Hillary called Trump's base deplorables. No, it isn't. No, it is. That's not when things change. It wasn't like suddenly people were like, oh my gosh, I'm going to vote for Trump. These people have been horrible from the beginning. But anyway, that's not what this is about. I'm talking about Brittany Griner. Obviously, me and everyone else wishes her the best, and let's hope she gets to come home. The situation is, again, unimaginable. Unimaginable. That's the best I could do. I'm going to balance bad news with good news. Shout out to Kansas. Shout out to Kansas for voting to keep abortion legal in Kansas. This is something that the Republicans better be aware of. Now, will this tilt the midterms, this Roe v. Wade overturning that decision, and will it get more women out in the polls and more women voting and more progressive people voting? I don't know, but it's very interesting. I read a piece about this, and it said when it comes to laws like this, when it comes to decisions like this, a lot of people will agree in theory who don't agree in practice. In other words, it's easy to say we should overturn Roe v. Wade, we should make abortion illegal, blah, blah, blah. But many people, apparently 1 in 5 pregnancies, the woman decides to have an abortion. So many people deal with this, like they say. And when now it's easy to say, you know, abortion's bad, we don't want abortion, this and that. But what the article was saying is when you have the daughter who gets pregnant while still a child, when you have the mistress get pregnant, yeah, when that side piece gets pregnant, I think that suddenly it becomes real and people's views change. And I'm talking about probably more so men. Women have their views with good reason. Like I say, women, this issue should be a woman's issue because it's their body and they know what to do. They know pregnancy, et cetera, men don't. But there, the article I read talked about reality versus theory. And once you overturn Roe v. Wade, then the thought of not being able to get a legal abortion becomes real. And it may be, this may be what gets some voters out and changes the midterm. I hope so. I hope so. I hope the Democrats remind people that this kind of control is what the Republicans want. This kind of hypocrisy is what the Republicans want. Because you better believe the Republicans are talking about any and everything that the Democrats do. And again, I'll get into this. But, you know, speaking of which, speaking of issues where the truth is hidden, let's talk about the price of gas, because everyone's upset about the price of gas, and they love blaming the Democrats for the price of gas. For some reason, there's a large portion of the population that believes Joe Biden, in between bicycle rides, raised the price of gasoline. Here's the story. Price gouging at the pump results in 235% profit jump for big oil. I've been talking about this for the last few weeks. 235% profit jump. That, listen, there is no problem with oil. There is no problem with the amount of oil or the supply of oil. The oil company simply chose to not refine as much gas so they can make back a ton of money that they considered losing during the pandemic. And they didn't lose any money during the pandemic. You know, I was talking with some people yesterday and they almost were talking as if the oil companies, no, oil companies never lose money, okay? Oil companies might project profit of $100 billion and only make $50 billion and cry, we lost $50 billion, we need subsidies. No, oil companies are robbing us blind. And this is another one that with the midterms coming up, Democrats got to do everything they can to get the word out. These oil companies are making an unbelievable amount of money off of you and me and anyone else. Chevron, Exxon Mobil, Hess, Phillips 66, Shell, you name it, all of them. Profits, words like skyrocketing. Can you imagine? How happy would you be if you, and the year isn't over yet, we're only in August, if you were 235% ahead of where you were last year, how happy would you be? Thing is, the oil companies probably aren't happy. They probably consider 235% profit increase a loss because it's not 300%, or who knows. So let's hope something, well, let's hope the word gets out. Let's hope the word gets out. It's a hell of a week. A hell of a week in the news. So you've heard me say this before, stupid don't get tired. Stupid don't get tired is going from the title of my special and my current comedy tour to my mantra and my explanation for everything. And we have to fear stupid. I'm not big on fear. I'm not big on conspiracy theories, but we have to fear ignorance, because ignorance is powerful. Ignorance works. Ignorance, it is when you start actively battling education and intelligence, we've got a problem. Now, we know there's, once again, DeVos started it, Boebert's talking about it, Arizona's having problems with it. So they're trying to do away with public education. They want to give these vouchers, right? And we've talked about this before, the way the vouchers work. You take money out of the public schools, you give it to parents who can use the vouchers as a subsidy to get their kids into private schools. The idea behind what they're doing is to get white kids into private schools and let the public schools crumble while they're full of minority kids. That's the plan. That's the idea. They're working on it. So far, it's been fought pretty well, but who knows? Now, another thing going on is this fear of grooming. I know you've heard about this, where the conservatives claim that children are being groomed to be gay. Okay. They don't say anything about children being groomed or trained in religion. They're okay with that. If you put Christian religion in the schools and groom the children to be Christians, that's fine. But if you were to teach the children that gay people are human, that is a terrible thing. So this little town in Michigan, Jamestown Township, has started a whole thing because there's been a couple of LGBTQ graphic novels in their library. Now, these graphic novels, for those who don't know, a graphic novel is like a comic book, maybe a little deeper than a comic book, but graphic, it's illustrated. If it were a comic book, as a matter of fact, they'd be okay with it because, that's what they like reading. And if it was a coloring book, well, that's interactive. So anyway, they're going after these graphic novels. Their idea is to cut this tax in their small town that pays to keep the library open. Let's see. So the tax for the average home in this town, market value of 250,000, the new tax, if approved, would increase their taxes by $24. So that's all the money that the library has. And the library in this small town is very important. But because they have some LGBTQ comic books in the library, they want to defund and shut down the library. Think about that. Think about that. Everything the library provides, books, computers, education, et cetera, all because, and the book that the comic book, the graphic novel that they're really upset about, the library agreed to put under the counter, not in open display. You have to come up and ask for it. As a friend of mine, a great comic, gay comic named Ant, once said, they're not recruiting. They're not trying to groom your kids. It's another experience. It's a different lifestyle. Why are you so afraid of your children learning that gay kids are okay, that gay adults are okay, that they're not some evil, demonic person who's out to get you? And here's the thing about trying to close these libraries, about trying to literally in Florida burn books and so on. The harder you try to hide this information, the more interested your kids will be in getting this information. And this is not little kids, by the way. These are young adults. These are teenagers, okay? Teenagers are not dumb. And if you try to tell a teenager they can't read something or they can't learn about something, I promise you they're going to find it. They're going to read it and they're going to learn about what you're trying to hide. Teenagers are much more savvy on the internet and in any digital media than their parents are. They'll figure it out. This town, these little towns that say, hey, we want to go back to the 1950s. No, you cannot put the genie back in the bottle. Okay. So I don't understand it, and I'm not perfect. I'm not sitting up here like I'm a saint, but I don't understand the type of prejudice and ignorance that wants to block knowledge. There are lifestyles, there are cultures that I do not understand. There are, but I'm okay with them existing, even if I'm not a part of that culture. I'd prefer white supremacy didn't exist, but I'm happier knowing about it than not knowing about it, right? So I don't know. But anyway, this is just another example of something that, was predicted in books like 1984 and, but you'd have said no. In the United States, closing a library because of a book, you even 10 years ago, even 10 years ago, you'd have said impossible. And yet here it is happening, not just in one place, happening all over the place. Some say ignorance is at an all-time high. I'll go with them on that. Speaking of ignorance and discrimination and prejudice and I don't know whatever else you want call it. Here's a good story. Here's a good story. That you probably seen the story about Sesame Place, where they had the character, in the costume. These kids' parks, they have characters dressed up like the cartoon characters or movie characters or whatever. And the character ignored the two little black girls who wanted to, he was high-fiving everybody in line. He ignored two little black girls. There was another case at a Chuck E. Cheese where Chuck E. Cheese, you know, the giant rat, ignored a black girl, obviously standing right in front of him, played with the other kids, ignored this kid. Well, Disney don't mess around. So there was a parade, and I'm trying to see exactly where it was. It was a Toy Story parade at Disney World, and Woody's going down the parade, and Jessie, who's Woody's buddy mascot, is down there. And this time, this is what's funny. So in Sesame Place, the character claimed not to see the black child, even though the black children were right in front of him. Chuck E. Cheese, they claimed not to see the black children, even though the black little black girl was right in front of Chuck. Here, Jessie honestly couldn't see the kid. Jessie's on the other side of the parade dancing, and the person in the Woody costume gets the person's attention in the Jessie costume, and they come over and they hug the little black girls. It's a beautiful thing to let the little girls know that they are as good as anybody, they are important as anybody, and they had a fun day at Disney World. So kudos to Disney and whoever's in the Woody costume and the Jessie costume. It is amazing. It is amazing how little effort it takes to do something good. How little effort it takes. If you're a mascot in a costume, it takes no effort at all to hug a black child. Even if you're the most racist asshole in the world, if you're wearing a mascot costume, you're not actually touching the child. You're completely covered in the costume. It's unbelievable. In 2022, that people still feel the need to discriminate against black children. But here it is. But hey, not this time. So good for you, Disney. Good for you, whoever is in that Woody costume and did it. You did the right thing, and you made some kids happy. How good could that feel that you're in these costumes, in these parades, and you got to make children happy? How do you not want to have that feeling? Again, I don't know. You know who ain't happy? We happy. He ain't happy. Alex Jones. Alex Jones is in another trial being sued again for defamation for his lies about Sandy Hook, for his denying Sandy Hook. I saw some powerful testimony of one of the parents looking him in the eye and saying, "My child was real. My child was a person." And that was emotional. But the good part, and this is how much of a piece of shit is Alex Jones when his lawyers give all of his cell phone records for the past 3 years, all of them, every call, every text, they give all of it to the other side, to the prosecution side. Yeah, they got him. The look on his face, you have to find the video when the lawyer calls him out directly as a liar, when he's saying he never mentioned Sandy Hook, and the lawyer has the actual phone records and the actual text messages of him talking about Sandy Hook. And the look on his face when he is caught in this lie and he tries to double talk and the judge shuts him down. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. So they're saying that the Texas bankruptcy laws are strange. He may or may not get to keep his stuff. He's going to have to sell some things. He's going to have to sell his little tank pickup truck that makes him feel tough and all of this stuff. I hope they strip him of every penny he has, but kudos, kudos to his lawyers. And think about what garbage you have to be when your own lawyers are like, "Psst, psst, here's all of his phone records, part of discovery." People are saying he may get out on a technicality for legal malpractice, but from the look on that judge's face, meh, I don't think so. I don't think Alex Jones is skating out of this one. Okay, finally, and again, it's honestly fascinating. People, are they closed-minded? Are they racist? Are they, I don't know what you call them, and they're just so upset over nothing. Cracker Barrel is a chain of restaurants. They mainly do breakfast, but they do other meals. You've seen them definitely across the South. They're everywhere, right? And then I've been in a Cracker Barrel or two. Their breakfast is pretty good. So Cracker Barrel has come out with Impossible meat sausages. They're gonna now. They didn't say they're gonna do away with their regular sausage. They're still gonna have pork sausage. They're gonna have bacon. They're gonna have, you know, meat, whatever you want. They didn't say they're doing away with them yet. They're just adding impossible meat sausages to their menu. Here is a response from some Cracker Barrel customers. All the more reason to stop eating at Cracker Barrel. This is not what Cracker Barrel was to be all about. Another one, I just lost respect for a once great Tennessee company. Here we go. If I wanted a salad, I would in fact order a salad. You know this person never ordered a salad in their life. Now stop it with the plant-based meat crap. Okay, here's another one. I like this one. Oh, noes. N-O-E-S. Noes. Oh, noes. The Cracker Barrel has gone woke. These people are upset because Cracker Barrel, they didn't take away anything. They just added something non-meat to the menu. It is the end of days. It is the end of days. That's right. That's what he said. Oh, noes. The Cracker Barrel gone woke. It is really the end of times. So, of course, the liberals hit it back. this is the liberal side of the Cracker Barrel argument. Imagine getting upset because a menu option exists at a restaurant. Relax, Trumpers. they don't like the boomers. This rocks. Now I have an option for me, and the loud boomers won't be there because they're scared of plants. How can the U.S. possibly survive with, checks the notes, more menus at Cracker Barrel? Some of y'all working on your third Cracker Barrel heart attack, being so upset about something you don't even have to eat. That's the point. You don't have to eat it. They just added it to the menu. I wonder if these people know that the Impossible Whopper exists at Burger King. I don't know. So I guess this is my last podcast since we have reached the end of days as Cracker Barrel serves Impossible Meat Sausage. It's been a good run, people. Thank you for listening for so long. But I guess we're done. I guess it's over. It ain't over. I'll be back. There may not be a podcast next week. I have to have some major dental work, so I may not be able to talk. But right now, I'm going to say, this is Alonzo Bowden. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. I will see you out there. And stay safe, have fun, and enjoy August, this last hot-ass month of summer.